Thanks for downloading this podcast. It's for personal use only and must not be broadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy wherever they get their podcasts.
Hello everybody, I'm John Hindorf and this is another Real World Road Test. Now, after over 100 years of internal combustion engines, you would think, wouldn't you, and particularly with 2030 here in Europe and the demise of internal combustion engine cars being sold at least as new cars, that we'd pretty much heard, seen and found out everything we could about that technology. Well, this Real World Road Test subject today is here to prove that isn't true. Standing in front of me is the revised 2021 Mazda mid-size crossover. It's called the CX-30. Now, it's a relatively new car to have already had a revision, but what's going on underneath, and particularly in the motor power department, is really interesting. And it's the subject of this Real World Road Test.
Real World Road Tests.
Right, we'll get to the technology bit in a second, but this Mazda CX-30 is a very handsome mid-size crossover machine. It sits rather neatly in between the CX-3 and the CX-5. So why is it not called the CX-4? I hear you shouting at your radios all around the world. And it's a fair point. But there is already a CX-4 in Mazda's lineup, although it is a China-only model. So when this car came out in the UK and Europe in December 2019, it was decided to start a new numbering system. So the CX-30 it becomes. So as I say, size-wise, it fits in between the CX-3 and the CX-5. Mazda have done a lot of very clever things with this, most notably with the internal combustion engine, which I'll get to in a moment. But to just major on that would be wrong, although it is very clever indeed. I really like Mazda's design philosophy. They talk about Kodo, a complete philosophy of design, about how the cars look, how they make you feel, and how they fit together almost as a family member and have a personality each of their own. It means that every single part of what Mazda do when they bring out a new model or they refine an existing one gets looked at. And when the CX-30 first came out, they certainly started to be very, very innovative indeed, which means that this car, which will easily seat 4/5 adults, take a bit of luggage as well, weighs in, even if it in its heaviest, at around 1500 kilos. They've engineered some sportiness into this. You know, for a long time, Mazda used to talk about zoom zoom, and also that there was a little bit of MX-5 in every car that they built and sold. And this CX-30 continues down that line and with those traditions. The design itself, well, it's distinctively Mazda, and that means it's distinctive from pretty much everything else on the road. The new design language at the front of the car, it means it's dominated by the grille, which is a stylized, almost a, how many sides is that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, septagon then, isn't it? With the big Mazda badge in the middle. This version, rather than just having a mesh grille, has a very lovely and almost tactile, I want to go and touch them now actually, pieces of gloss black that stick out, which are the same shape of the as the grille. It's a very lovely little design on there, and it gives a 3D effect. It's flanked by a lot of chrome as well, which is sometimes a bit unusual nowadays, isn't it? The number plate, the registration plate, sits underneath that with a secondary intake. The day running lights, day notice lights, are either side near to the bottom of quite a deep and dramatic air dam, and another signature Mazda item now, which a number of other manufacturers have copied, or at least taken on board, shall we say, is the way these headlights units go all the way back into the front wings. And it's got a face, and that's, you know, it has a face, it has a personality. That's so Mazda, isn't it? The clever piece of design on the bonnet. Everything nowadays is being built for pedestrian safety, of course, with the various safety boards around the world. So there's not really an awful lot you can do with a bonnet and the front end of a car, but it does have a little bit of a downward snoot, if you will, a snout, and the clever piece of design here either side of the bonnet, which adds a couple of design lines which trick your eye by putting in a little concave surface into trick your eye into thinking that there's a much bigger bonnet bulge than there actually is. I think it works very well, particularly in this dark grey metallic colour that is standing in front of me now. If we go down the side of the car, it's SUV-ish proportions are actually well disguised. The wheels with a dark grey shiny finish, multi-spoke design, look very good indeed, wearing not ridiculously low profile tyres, I'm pleased to see. 215/55x18s. I mean, say that, 18s a few years ago would have been thought to be quite large, but they do fill the wheel arches very, very well indeed. There's a little bit of cladding around the wheel arches, which gives it a little bit more of a roughy, tufty look. It's in a slightly different, it's not painted, so it's in a different material to the bodywork itself, of course, and it sort of has a matte finish. And as is the trend nowadays, it is pretty flattened off, those wheel arches, although there's a little bit of a flare on the cladding itself. The overall styling from the A-pillar back is certainly very dramatic and looks like it's doing 20 miles an hour while it's standing still. And inducing that is this really very steeply raked back windscreen. The windscreen wipers sit parked underneath the trailing edge of the bonnet to keep them out of the line of the air coming across. And then this single big curve all the way across both of the doors, with the roof rail opening out towards the back. The styling, I think, very much helped by the gloss black B pillars. It has got black glass in the back as well. And then the C pillar, and around the rear edge of the back door, has this distinctive, to Mazda, I think, and it's something I spot on most Mazdas now, this almost arrowhead rear third window there, which makes it look like the car is leaning forward. There is actually a slightly upward movement, a bit of upward movement, and it's not all straight lines. That's what I like about this car. There's curves here, and even the chrome strip under the windows of both doors just goes up and then curves up a little bit to make that point of the arrowhead as the roof line looks like it comes down. And again, like many of these sort of coupe style machines nowadays, it's again a very clever trick of design where the roof rail opens out. It really makes it look like the back end is swooping down, but that's your eye being taken onto the bigger part of the car. It's very clever, so you're not actually losing that much headroom inside the back of the car. The headlights coming into the front wings is mirrored by the tail lights going quite a long way actually into the back wings over the back wheel, which again sits nicely proportioned in a rear wheel arch. Now, the rear wheel arch does form part of the back door, and I'll tell you about getting in and out of that in a moment, but let's stay with the exterior. There's an aerodynamic aid and spoiler, not just above but around the rear window, which is all in gloss black as well, as is the rear window actually. And then the rear lights from the rear wing with those distinctive Mazda round rear tail clusters then basically like a dagger into the tailgate itself. Now, the rear end is pretty clean, pretty sensibly designed, number plate in the back. The tailgate itself goes a long way down, which helps with loading, and then you've got, again, the same cladding for the rear bumper, so that isn't painted on this model, although we do have things, all the toys, like proximity sensors and cameras, etc. And while we're around here, let's just press underneath the where the tail lights are, or at least the number plate lights are, to open the boot. Now, that it's not the biggest boot in the world, but for a couple of people and their luggage, it's more than good enough. Big weekly shop. This has a clever cargo system, which means you can fold various bits of the floor up and then use the piece of the floor to hold things together, and there's tie down straps as well in there. What I have noticed, and it's not a massive issue, but there isn't a 12 volt outlet in here, so if you were looking to power a cool box, you'd have to run that from the inside. With the back seats folded down, it's pretty spacious in there if you wanted to carry some stuff or do that run to the local dump when you're clearing out stuff at various parts of the year. No spare wheel, of course, it's a compressor and some mousse. Again, that's pretty standard nowadays, isn't it? The design of the car means that that rakish rear end does impinge a little bit on your luggage space, but having said that, it's not too bad. And up to the window line, it's a square box for putting square things in, which, you know, is what you want, isn't it, from the rear end. Let's just close the tailgate. So the outside of the car then, more than living up to Mazda's usual cleverness and design philosophy, let's take a quick look at the inside. And for once here, I'm going to start in the back. The rear door, which, as I say, forms part of the rear wheel arch, and I've mentioned this before on other cars, the doors themselves go all the way down to the sills and in fact cover the most part of the sills. I really like that, because getting in and out, it means you don't get the bottom of your trousers dirty. It opens almost to a full 90 degrees. It's not the easiest thing to get in and out of, particularly when I've got a microphone with me, but sliding in, I find myself in a very nice environment as I sit in the back of this Mazda. Now, it isn't the most spacious in the back, but I suppose if you want a bit more room, you could jump into a CX-5. And having been in the back of a CX-5, whilst I've had this car, there is a bit of difference there, but spookily enough, not that much. And unless you've got somebody who's well over 6 foot, with the seat pushed all the way back, the sculpted parts of the front seats means you've still got plenty of knee room, and the clever design again goes onto the roof, where the hard roof headlining here in a nice linen colour, which really brings out the interior, well, that actually curves up just over the top of where my head is, and I can easily get the width of my hand between the top of my head and the roof itself. It's quite a high waistline, which means, you know, there's a danger there that you feel a bit claustrophobic, but somehow Mazda have managed to make that not be the case. And actually, that little third window at the back, which you might think is just a styling exercise from the outside, well, it's a little bit of a porthole just over my shoulder here, and that adds a little bit of light into your peripheral vision when you're sitting in the back. At the moment, I've got the centre console folded down, and that is beautifully upholstered, lovely place to put your arm, as is the door rest, finished in a sort of dark coffee colour in this car, amongst the usual swathes of black. But Mazda have been very clever and very, very particular about their choice of materials here. Everything that you touch, including the door handle, the release there, which is metal, and feels metal, and feels sturdy, and, dare I say it, premium. It's just got a quality touch, quality, I was going to say written all over it, but quality feeling all over it, if that makes a sense. And I don't understand other manufacturers, when they build a car that they want to compete with some of the big German manufacturers in terms of quality and premium feel, and yet certain things, in fact, you could say it of some of the German manufacturers as well, and some of the things that you touch on a regular basis in the car, I know that there has to be plastics there, but there's plastic and there's plastic, isn't there? Do you know what I mean when I say that? We've come to the front door. This one is Bose stereo equipped, and wears the Bose logo on a piano black panel that also houses the door lock and unlock. On the driver's side, there's another piano black panel there with all four electric windows and the controls for the rather lovely shaped wing mirrors, which are exceptionally quiet at speed. So there's some aero work gone into those as well. Again, it's a very wide opening door. And before I get in and sit in the driver's seat, just looking in, again, it absolutely shouts premium quality. There's a perforated finish to the middle of the leather seats, and in that there's a contrast colour which is very similar to the mid dark brown coffee colour that I was talking about before. I know it doesn't sound like it would work, it does. The stitching around the seats, again, that same contrast colour, it brings it out. And it really lightens up. I mean, I like black interiors of cars, but it really lightens up what could have been a slightly dour interior. There's a, on the front of the seat, the driver's seat, the two front seats, in fact, just where the back of your legs are, there's not leather. There's a piece of, it almost looks like felt. And you feel that on the back of your legs when you're wearing shorts, which we have been in the UK. The dash panel, I tell you what, let's get in if I'm going to start talking about that. The dash panel, the top of the dash panel, again in this contrast colour, is just brings it up and adds something different. The dashboard itself, when you touch it, is just ever so slightly padded. So are the panels where you rest your elbow on the driver's door. The centre console, where you put your other elbow if you're sitting talking, or maybe you're just waiting to change gear. They've all got a little bit of padding, even to the point of on the transmission tunnel, beautiful positioning for the pedals and the left foot rest, by the way. Thank you, Mazda. But even on the side of the transmission tunnel, where my, in this right-hand drive version, my left leg might be leaning against the transmission tunnel if you're on a long drive or a cruise, even that is slightly padded. And whether you're wearing a pair of jeans or you've got shorts on, there's just something about that that makes it feel, rightly so I think, that Mazda have thought about this from every seat in the car, whether it's the driver or the comfort of the passengers in the front or in the back. Now, all of the toys are here on this version. Mazda's screen is embedded in the dash, sticks up a little bit, but isn't touchscreen. They're very particular about that. They don't think that touchscreens add anything, and indeed in some cases can be dangerous. So there's a big wheel controller here, rotary controller with four buttons around. It puts me in mind, actually, of the old Audi systems that I used to like so much. There will be a lot of motoring journalists, I know, who, along with me, will be raising a little cheer that the aircon and heating controls are physical and sit in the middle of the dashboard. Honestly, car manufacturers, it is that important. I do not want to go through 20 clicks just to change where I'm sending the air in the middle of the car. One click, keyboard style, all there in the middle. Mazda, spot on. The dashboard is a lovely mix between traditional analog dials with pointers on them and a configurable centre part, which is obviously a TFT screen. There are air vents a go-go, so one either side of the dashboard, two in front of the passenger, also two further in the rear console as well.
a plethora of buttons to control all of the bits and pieces. This one is particularly well spec'd, so it's got front and rear cameras with a choice of view. It has cross traffic alert front and rear. We've got iStop, which is their Mazda's stop-start technology. And this car has a mild hybrid as well, which we'll get to when we talk about the driving. Well, let's do that now.
Real World Road Test.
We talked about at the very start of this Real World Road Test the technology that's gone into this car in the design, in keeping it light. But of course, it is the engine technology that I've wanted to be getting my hands on for quite some time. And we'll talk about that as we go on the road with this Mazda CX-30. So, out on the road in this Mazda CX-30, I've talked a lot about the cleverness of the design. Now it's about the cleverness of the power unit itself. So, as they used to say in the hair products commercial, here's the science. Although I think Jennifer Aniston probably did that a wee bit better than I just delivered it. If you're a car fan, and you must be if you're listening to this, down through the years, we talk about diesel and petrol engines, both four-stroke, both internal combustion engines, because the combustion goes on within the cylinders. Diesel, compression, high compression ratio in the cylinder, spontaneous combustion when the fuel-air mixture is injected into that very, very highly compressed top part of the cylinder. Petrol, well, either by carburetor or again by injection, the fuel-air mixture delivered in compressed and then ignited by a spark. So we have compression ignition and spark ignition. Yeah, we all know that, don't we? Well, prepare to have your world turned upside down, because this engine, the newly named for this second generation of it, the E-Sky Active X, is a spark-controlled compression ignition engine. Eh? Yeah, I know. So, what? It's both petrol and diesel? No. But it uses elements of both a petrol and a diesel engine to produce its power and its ridiculously low emissions figures. How does it do it? That's a good question. In fairness, Mazda have perfected a technology that many other motor manufacturers have tried down through the years. And they've all said it's possible in theory, but they've never been able to bring it to a series production car. Mazda have said, hold our rotary engine, here we go. And they've done it. And not only have they've done it very well indeed. The basics behind this is they upped the compression ratio in the cylinders. In the original version, over 16:1, 16.3:1 for those of you who want the exact numbers. Although in this second version of this Sky Active X, it's actually been taken back to about 15:1, but that's still much more than what we would call a normal series production petrol engine. But what that's allowed them to do is to change the fuel-air mixture. Well, what do you mean? Well, normally there's quite a serious amount of fuel going into the fuel-to-air mixture. With this higher compression ratio, Mazda have managed to knock that down considerably. So from something like between 35 to 45:1, down to 15:1. So what, 3 times leaner? That's 3 times less petrol, fewer petrol droplets being used for every cycle of your engine than in a, what we might now can call, suppose, conventional petrol engine. Clever stuff, eh? But what about this spark-controlled compression ignition? Well, petrol is notoriously difficult to get to burn. If you know anything about those types of things, just compressing petrol, even at 16:1, wouldn't be enough to get it to spontaneously combust. So what Mazda have done a bit of both. compress. A small charge is fired in to the cylinder, and that secondary charge being fired in at the right time allows the primary charge, which is being compressed, to burn. Again, you might be scratching your head here. A tiny little, slightly denser fuel-air mixture gets squirted in at the very last minute in the compression cycle, and then ignited by a spark from a conventional spark plug. The shock wave that then produces raises the temperature and the compression ratio in the rest of the cylinder and fires off the rest of the charge. Brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant. And what that means is that the compression ratio is all lifted up, that we're still using far less fuel, and we're not losing anything in terms of performance. This 2-litre four-cylinder engine produces nearly 190 brake horsepower, 186 PS, if you want. That's up around about 6 horsepower on the early versions of this. Its emissions are down between 5 and 11 grams per kilometre, which means it's very, very lean at the tailpipe. And the torque, which kicks in very, very early, but especially from around about 2,000 revs up, is awesome. So we're getting all the best of that compression ignition and spark ignition engine technology that's been worked on for the last 100 years. Brilliant, eh? But what does it drive like? Well, the answer is perfectly well. There's enough get up and go when you want it and when you rev the engine. The torque means that you drive it in higher gears. The 6-speed manual gearbox on this car, by the way, driving through the front wheels only, is a delight to use. Very precise. Could have been lifted straight out of a sports car. Added to that, the driving experience is enhanced by very direct steering. And although you're sitting a little higher up, the body control is excellent. The suspension, I think, just firm enough on the 18-inch rims. It deals with the worst that British roads can throw at it, and trust me, British roads are pretty bad, particularly around Northamptonshire, which is where I live. But it's not crashy, and you don't feel like you're getting jiggled around. What I like about it is you can't tell when it's in compression mode or spark mode, and neither are you supposed to. That's helped by a mild hybrid, which gives about another 6.5 or so horsepower, maybe a little bit more on the mild hybrid system. That smooths things out. In cold weather or under high load, it automatically reverts to being a spark controlled ignition engine, and when it doesn't need to, it doesn't, which is around about 90% of the time, the clever people at Mazda tell me. There is a little supercharger to help with the forced induction of the air when running on that ultra lean burn compression ignition mode, but you know what Mazda are like. They don't use turbochargers to enhance their engines. They prefer proper engineering, and that's what this is, proper engineering. Now, for most people who buy the CX-30 with the eSkyActiv-X engine, all of that will just be going on in the background, and all it does is help deliver extreme refinement to an already refined car. The rest of the car is what will sell it, and I completely understand that. But I really like the fact that after more than a century of internal combustion engine, manufacturers like Mazda are still prepared to invest in making it better. They're talking about the environment with this car because their thought is you have to minimise what they call the well-to-wheel emissions of your cars. Now, at the moment, battery EVs are the buzzword. But Mazda point out that 90% of the world's electricity is still produced by fossil fuels. So, in point of fact, the well-to-wheel emissions of a battery car and a conventional fossil fuel car can be very similar depending in which part of the world you are using it and where you're getting your electric from. So what they've tried to do with this is give an alternative, and they've engineered this alternative, which is what I really like. It's so Mazda, isn't it? Clever design, clever engineering, packaged cleverly, and oh, hang on, it's just clever. But it's not in-your-face clever. It's not clever for the sake of being clever. You genuinely get some result and some benefit for it. I've done nearly 900 miles in about 5 days in this CX-30. And over a mixture of motorways, country roads, backwards and forwards to the supermarket, nipping out to do a bit of shopping, 53 miles to the UK gallon. And that's, by the way, without me thinking, I'm driving particularly economically. The car has been driven spiritedly when the roads have allowed. I like the flat stance through the corners. Very good. Very good indeed. The smoothness of power delivery is in perfect concert with the design and the premium feel of the car. It's a good all-round package. And at only 1,500 kilos, you feel that dynamic advantage of having a lighter car. Put it this way, if this car had batteries in it, it'd probably be 200 to 250 kilos heavier, and that would affect that dynamic feel and probably give me somewhere near only a third of the range. This car, driven carefully, will do something between 500 and 600 miles on a tank of 4-star fuel. The Mazda CX-30, mid-size SUV crossover, fitting in between the CX-3 and the CF-5. This one, with the Skyactiv-X SP CCI engine, it's brilliant. It's brilliant engineering, it's brilliant thinking. It's a Mazda.
Another real-world road test. Check out more at RadioLeMans.com. This programme is a Radio Show Limited production.
Tell your friends there's more at RadioLeMans.com.